predominantly there's going to be really three passages I'm going to springboard off of today, speaking to fathers. And I hope it's a real encouragement to you. Like I said, I've been wrestling this. I don't always take. Sometimes I stick right where we're at, especially in my book of the Bible, and God seems to take care of business when we're there. But my wife told me years ago, I remember we had some trouble in church, and some people left, and it was just not good. And this was, man, we're talking like 24 years ago now. I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and Bethany was not even walking yet. And I'm sitting there on the edge of the bed just with a heavy heart, and I'm just pouring my guts out, you know. And I just remember Bethany grabbed my pants in the bed, and she pulled herself up, and she's shaking and standing there. And so I'm just kind of laughing with her, and, you know, I picked her up. And you know how it is. It's just a moment in time where all of a sudden all the sorrow and all the trouble went away. And my wife told me, she said, you do know that you're going to have this girl for at least 18 years probably in our home. She's a steady investment. She's a worthy investment. And boy, it was good for me to hear that morning. And I would say, as a father, I would really struggle doing ministry and trying to shepherd a church if my home was that far out of sorts. And when I say that, if you've got a wayward child, I am not putting that weight on you. I do know, and you can see in Scripture all these examples of people with their own wills doing their own thing. So just if any of this fits, I mean, just go ahead and put it on. That's fine. But don't allow me to make you feel guilty. But if God's Holy Spirit works in, squeezing your heart, do business with him, you know. And so I remember when, you know, Josie started going her own way and going wayward. I'm just telling you, guys, I'll just be honest. I just couldn't bear it. I just could not bear it. And it was the Sunday morning when I asked the Lord to take my youngest girl and just to get her heart. I said, God, I want her heart to be yours. And I don't need ministry. I don't need to preach. Whatever it takes, get her heart. It was the very next day where her diagnosis came in, and she ended up having cancer. And I'll say, by saying that story, it's a lot of sadness to that story. But the fact that my father listened to me and listened to my heart's cry and my longing, and I see what we have today. It's not pretty. There's a lot of scars. There's still a lot of hurt. There's going to be a lifelong of dealing with issues. But we've got a heart that's rescued, and it was well worth it for me as a dad. I just couldn't stand up here, and I just would feel like a hypocrite. Even though, please don't think across the line I'm saying that, because all of our children have choices, and they've got paths, and they're going to have a lot of this in life. For sure. So I don't want to go extreme. I'm not a legalist here. I'm real with God's word, and I see all the results of raising children in the Bible. But I'm going to say today, if I have any claim in my life, I've had many a people come and go. Our church should be about 600 people big right now, but it's not. But my girls, starting with my wife, but having kids has been, they made me a father, and it's probably one of my greatest claims of pride. So I love being a dad. And them girls made me super proud in their decisions and their seeking of God and getting in his word and all of those things. As a dad, I'm just like, I'm not sure it gets any better than this. So my legacy I leave behind, I'm not sure what it's going to be on the big scale and, you know, what kind of footprint I'm going to leave. But if I can do it in the hearts of those girls, I'm going to call my job good. I'm going to call it good. All the verses in the Bible that talk about fathering and child rearing, I went to the New Testament and I pulled three of my favorites. It's probably the three biggest passages in the New Testament on fathering, in my opinion. And I would just like to share them with you. I want to work you through it, and I'll just spit out. I don't have five fancy points or 3 points in a poem. I don't have any of that. I have God's word today. I have a heart that is loves this subject. I love to talk to, I love parenting. I love children. I love this. And because I think this is where the rubber meets the road. You know, this is where, how many pastors are up at the pulpit preaching and looking sexy on Sunday mornings, and then they go home and they're terrible to their families, or they have friction and their kids are wayward and husband and wife are constantly, you know, getting after each other and fighting, all those type of things. I don't want to be that guy, you know. So I've always leaned towards practical. Matter of fact, when I preached at that church last week, one of the ladies in that church goes, "Man, we get good preaching here, a lot of doctrine." She goes, "We never get practical teaching." I was just like, "Well, then your doctrine's worthless. If it don't affect the way you live and affect the way you behave, that's how it's supposed to work." So doctrine is vital, but it should affect the way we do life. So yes, I am practical, and this means a lot to me because I know when God started this whole thing, he started in a garden with a husband and a wife. Then it became a family. This was before there was any nation. And I think Christianity has got where it's real is it's real in our homes. It's where we live. And by the way, I'll say this too. Old Pastor Chuck Swindoll on the radio years ago said, "Men, it's hardest at home." And I believe him. He was talking to a group of pastors and he said that. He goes, "Hey, men, it's easy at church. You can teach a class. You can study. You can do all this." He says, "But it's hardest inside of your home. That's where we let our hair down, you know. That's where we can be ourselves a little bit. That's where they know who we really are." And boy, I just really want to guard that, and I hope you do too. So Colossians chapter 3, let's start there. Colossians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Colossians 3, 20 and 21. It says this: "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." There's no greater goal for a parent more than just having your kids obedient. Because when kids are little, you can manipulate and force them to do a lot of things even they don't want to do. So one of our goals is we want obedience out of our children, but it says, "For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." There's the big picture thing, right? So we want our lives to bring God glory. And so when our children obey, and of course, and then they do that with a good attitude in a perfect world, we want the Lord to be pleased. So more than, and this is a big problem with parenting today, is parenting today is pleasing your children. Don't get that backwards. Please the Lord, not them. Please the Lord. And so if we want our children to obey and we want to be a household that God is pleased, it says in verse 21, "And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." God deals with fathers twice in Paul's epistles. He deals with the next passage is Ephesians chapter 6. And did you know when he addresses fathers, he says the very same thing. He says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." So the reason why the Bible brings this up twice is, hey, pops, dads, we've got an issue here. Or the Bible wouldn't deal with it twice. We've got an issue. We have a tendency that we want to provoke our children, and it makes them angry. Now, I would like to take the word anger, and I would just like to say that, you know, and right here inside of the seat of every human being is the seat of emotions, man. And this is what happens. Fathers, it says, provoke not, don't drive your kids, don't put them to a spot in life where they're so stirred up, their emotions are awry, they're a mess. So basically he says, hey, fathers, stir not your children up to anger, lest they be discouraged. It's so easy to discourage, and we all know what it takes to make it in this life, don't we? What about in a Christian life? You want to get your child to stand up for the cause of Christ. You know what it takes? It takes courage. So as a dad, it's our job not to stir them up emotionally. It's actually our job to build them up spiritually. Matter of fact, take your Bibles and go over to the Ephesians 6 passage. Go back a couple books. Ephesians chapter 6, and this is in verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4 says this, and well, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So anybody that's a young person in this room, the Bible clearly tells you, like, the main thing on your agenda has always got to be to obey your folks, to obey your parents. And then it says, in the Lord, even if you got difficult parents, you do it for Jesus. And it says, for this is right. Then it says in verse 2, it takes it a step further. Honor thy father and mother, which is in the first command, which is the first commandment with promise. So you got obedience and you've got honor. We want this out of our children. Now we have a society that lacks honor, don't we? They lack respect right now. I mean, every generation's had this issue, but it seems like it's more in our face. It's probably more in our face because everybody's got cameras and videos and phones. So we just see it more. People get exposed a little bit more. And so we see it and we're like, oh my gosh, that's so disrespectful. Nobody has respect for authority. They just feel entitled. Well, I'll tell you what, the way the Bible fights that, it takes it to conflict. It just says, fathers. It always puts it on a dad. It says, fathers, your kids are an emotional disaster, and you're provoking them. Boy, we need to figure this out, dads. Like, how are we provoking them? We're stirring them up. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So notice it says, provoke not, but bring them up. Do you see that? We're supposed to bring our children up, not stir them up. The problem is when you got an emotional, immature father, what he ends up doing, especially as the children get older, there seems to be more conflict. There seems to be friction there. So I'd like to tell you, dads, grow up, you know. You can't be a tour guide in this life. You can't tour guide to a place that you've never been. You've got to make sure that it's working in you, right? Your relationship with Jesus, life, it's all working for you, and then you can pass that stuff on. And so it clearly says here that children should obey, children should honor, and pops, you should make sure, fathers, that you're not provoking your children to wrath, but you're bringing them up in what? Nurture. And the admonition, and that says, of the Lord. You know, what I need to do as a dad is make sure that my kids, when they leave my house, I need to make sure that they're the house of God. The Bible says, when you receive Jesus Christ, you become the habitation of God. So it's not even about my home. It's not even about me saying, my rules, my home, under my roof, this is, well, hey, okay, some of that standards and principles, I get it. The real issue is we teach our children to fly. Are they going to be the house of the living God? Are they going to please him? Are they going to bring him honor? That's the win. It's not what they do. It's not their vocation. And you know, and you'll see a reflection of this sometimes in even who they might choose as a partner in life. But fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. So dads, here we go. It's our responsibility to train our children. And listen to this. It keeps saying, don't provoke them to wrath, don't provoke them to anger. Meaning, if your kids are out of control emotionally, this is on you. This is on you. Help them. Train them. And listen, you're going to have one kid that's quiet and sweet and all that type of stuff and is easy. And you'll have another kid that's a pistol. They're both your children. You love them both the same, but some might need a little bit more attention in this area. Watch the provoking. Don't stir it up. Bring them up. That's right. Raise it up, right? All the boats in the harbor, man, I'll tell you, when the water comes up, the boats will rise. And so when I set this high in my life, it'll also be high in their life. The Bible says if we train up our children, when they're old, they won't depart. It don't mean they're not going to sway and go wayward, but they're going to know. They're going to know what true north is. That's the whole point of the compass, isn't it? We got to know what true north is. And as dads, we got to know. I'm not talking about being a husband, because that's important too, right? Loving your wife so that they can see that. But the real deal for me and you, the real issue here is the Bible says, you got to bring your children up. It's your job to do the training. But what are you training them in? And some people just like, they want their kids to be productive members of society. I want my kids to not be poor. Parents do that. I don't want my kids to struggle like I did. It was all my struggles that made my Savior sweeter for me. He's the one I needed. And you can have the best Christian home in all of the world. You can have all the standards, and you're still going to have difficulty. And your children are still going to have, they're going to have strengths, but they're going to have glaring weaknesses in their life. And let me tell you what I've always tried to do as a father. I've never tried to hide those weaknesses. They see them. They're not stupid. But what I like to watch, I want them to see me go through the process of my walk with Jesus. And I'm constantly trying to put them on the table. And I know this is an area that I'm working on. This is an area where I need to improve. And, you know, last Monday, I had a real hard, hard day in my heart. And it was Monday morning. And I'm so thankful for God's word. I'm so thankful, you know, because what I equate that to is I'm like a son, his son, and when I have my quiet time in the morning, I get a chance to sit. It's not just the creator of the universe, the God of the Bible. When I met Jesus Christ, God became my father. And so I get to go to my father, and, you know, I love the end of that little video clip we've seen. We just said, you know, all the garbage and all the roles you play as a dad, you find yourself privileged to kind of at the very end when all the child-rearing type of stuff is over, if you can be an influence on your children and they call and you can just say, hey, what's up? What are you calling for? What do you need? And they're seeking your counsel or seeking your advice. That's like got to be the greatest win ever, because that's what leadership is. Leadership is really, it's influence. And today, we lack this a little bit, man, don't we? In our world of Google, you can get every answer on YouTube. We lack these interpersonal relationships where we actually need people. Hey, I just noticed this the other day. I was doing a summary of years in ministry and what works, because culture keeps changes. You know something that's off my plate now? A lot? Counseling. In a world where they claim people are more messed up than ever, biblical counseling. I used to do tons of it. People would come and want to know what the Bible says. Hey, how do I handle this? How I handle that? It's funny to me, this last couple generations with little kids, they don't call. They do their own thing. I literally sat with three young couples. This would have been about 4 years ago now, 5 years ago now, maybe in that range. I sat with them, and I'm talking to them. And as I was talking to them, I was giving them Bible verses. Well, here's what the Bible says about that. And of course, one lady speaks up and goes, well, that don't work with my kid. You know, just like, okay, we'll move on. And another couple goes, hey, I want you to know, I know Mike is our pastor, but I don't parent that way. And I wish I could tell you exactly who these people are, because if you knew them, I think you would look and go, boy, that didn't go very good. Well, it didn't go very good because I was just giving biblical principles. Guys, you know how it is. We love grace, don't we? Because truth is so hard. You know, I need the grace in my life. And this is exactly, you know, we know the truth as parents, but it don't always go down like we thought it would go down. It's not perfect. This is where the grace comes in. He loves us. He's sweet. I love the word of God is like honey, man. He pours that sweetness into our life knowing that, and this is where we can just be honest with our children, with our weaknesses and say, this is where I'm at. This is where God is working on me. But it is our job to pass this on to our kids and let them see the reality of a living God working inside of us. Fathers, quit stirring your kids up. You're stirring a hornet's nest. Kids today, everybody says, kids today can't talk to people. I agree. They've had a little bit of lack of that because they've always grown up with a screen. But it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to teach our children, here's how you deal with your wild heart. Here's how you the seat of your emotions. And believe me, I've always had a house of women. So I know a little bit about the subject. You know, I'm not joking, man. I had a mom, and then, of course, you know, I get married, and I'm growing there, and then I have a child. Katie lived with us for some years, you know, and then Josie comes along, and I'm like, okay, I got to figure this thing out. I learned a lot of things. I'm an emotional man, but I learned it at another level. I'm not going to lie. And when I say that, it's not all bad. Like, I'm not, you know, knocking it or making fun of it, but it is just a real understanding of, because I know, you know, a lot of men can fight, or they will fight. They'll throw down. They have no trouble with that. They can cuss and smoke and chew. They can do all those type of things. But all of a sudden, to shepherd the heart, to have the heart of your wife and to nurture that and to work with that, to have children, and like my mom always said, I'm so thankful I had little boys, because she always said, you guys were like dogs. She goes, I'd slap you in the face and lock the door behind. Get outside and don't come home to the streetlights. Come on. She'd lock the door, you know, and we'd go out and get in trouble. And she says, but man, you were so happy to see me. You know, I could do that. I could yell at you. And she says, man, every family, she said, I've known that has girls, it don't work that way. You know, you slap your little girl and lock the door, and all of a sudden, you guys ain't talking for 3 days, and they're working all through this. And she goes, I just don't think I could handle that. So I don't know. You know, is it cats or dogs? I'm not sure which gender would go to each animal. I've heard different things in different ways on that, but it is different. You know, my dog just loves the attention, and I'll jump all over him, and he jumps up in the bed and licks my neck and all that type of stuff. I mean, he's just affectionate, and he rolls on me like a litter mate. So when I come in and I got dirty clothes on, you know what I do? I roll on him. I jump on the bed, and I do. And he gets on his back, and we're just like litter mates, you know. And the cat is a different story. I can't do that to the cat because he gets angry. You know, his claws come out frequently, and it's just a little bit different. So I relate to them differently, and our cat does like me, but you know what I don't do to our cat? I don't pick him up very often. You know why? He don't like that. He don't like that. And so now I pet him. I scratch him, and in the mornings I do my quiet time. He comes to me. He just comes right over to me, wants to pet and purr. Sometimes he'll jump up on my lap, but it's kind of at his own deal. But, you know, I've learned. I've learned him, you know, just kind of like I've learned the dog. And I think this is exactly what the Bible says for you and me. The Bible says a pastor, I'm supposed to know the people in my world. Know them. Know them. I should know my wife, know how she works, know how she thinks, know my children. And guys, you know how all that, I don't want to be up there psychobabbling and talking about counseling and psychology. We've got to know the Word. Know the Word of God. I know the Bible, and I know them, and now you can make the connection. Boy, is that not ministry in a nutshell? And that's why we're struggling with ministry today. Times are so different. People are having a very hard time connecting the Word. So I'm at the point where I'm just like, I don't bullhorn it in there. I'd at least get it in there. Don't sit back and say, we're going to do nothing. Oh, cultures change. They don't want that. But it's what they need. So what do? It's hard. I mean, sometimes focusing too much on methodology. Hey, fathers, let's learn this today. Let's quit stirring our children up to anger or to wrath. What is it about that? So let me give you some principles, dads, things that we can work on here. Because what we need to do is our children need to learn how to, maybe I should use the word control, you know, their heart and their emotions. And so the Bible gives some warnings about this. The Bible says if you keep provoking your child to anger, it's going to lead them to a bad place or lead them, if you keep stirring them instead of lifting them up. I like how it says we're supposed to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because when we provoke them, you know what it does? It puts them down. And we actually want to bring them up. That's our job. And hey, parents, work together on this too, because sometimes you're just like, I don't know what it is about this kid, but he drives me nuts. And sometimes a spouse can come in and just say, honey, I know, but, you know, and then she can take it over. It's like a relay race where sometimes hand the baton back and forth. You run this lap. I don't know that I can deal with this, you know. So there's some warnings in the Bible against anger. Let me give you a few things about anger, just what it'll lead your kid to. If you don't properly bring your children up, you will provoke them into places. Proverbs 22:24 says this, make no friendships with an angry man because it leads you to a bad spot. So if you read the book of Proverbs and talk about people that are angry, they don't make good friends. Matter of fact, people eventually want to get away from them. So you'll destroy the social skills of your child. And it's unfortunate if you don't, the world and life has a way of teaching your kids. Dad, if you don't want to step up to the plate and do it, your kid will learn the hard way when they enter school. Because kids are cruel. They'll call it right out. They'll say it right in front of everybody. And all of a sudden, what you'll have a hurt heart on your hands because as a dad, you weren't willing to train. You weren't really to jump in this area right here and bring your children up instead of constantly provoking them. So remember that. Your children will struggle with friendships. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. Guys, I think we know that anger is the starting point for murder. Anger's the starting point. It always leads to sinful behavior. Now, there is an anger in the Bible that's righteous, but if we continue having anger issues in our home, it'll eventually lead our children. You're actually, if you provoke your children to anger, just I want you to know something. You are provoking them to do evil, to do wrong. You're letting their little hearts do that, you know. And Proverbs 27:4 says, anger is outrageous. It'll mess their worlds up when they can't deal with it. By the way, they say a study was done, and UCLA did this study, and the conclusion they came to is, Dr. Ross Campbell did this one. Anybody that sexually is disoriented, like they don't know whether they're struggling with same-sex attraction, whether they're doing transgender, even talking about like their gender. He says, I've never met a person in any of our clinical practices, I've never met a person that is sexually disoriented that had a nurturing and a loving father in their home. He said, not once. Isn't that something? Takes it back again to, hey, pops, the leader of the home, dad, this is on you. Be careful. Be careful. Watch your provoking, stirring the hornet's nest up, right? Let me give you another thing the Bible teaches about anger. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:9 that you got to watch anger in the bosom of fools, because that's usually where it lands and it usually ends. It'll turn your child into a foolish person when they cannot control their emotions. Guys, I was a kid that had a hard time with this. I was frequently angry, and my mom did me really good here. My dad didn't so much get involved, and you know why? I was like a little girl in my heart. I was very emotional, and in some ways, it made me good, like especially if it would make me angry, and I would turn my anger into rage a little bit, and I'm like, wow, that worked well on them last three plays. You know, so in sports, I mean, there's times where you can, you know, use it. But what my mom was frequently did with me is I was foolish. I would do ridiculous things and break things. And, you know, kids that kick and punch holes and break toys and all that type of stuff. I'd try to hurt my brother because he was older than me. So since he was older, I needed a weapon to hurt him. So I always seemed to grab a weapon in my hands to hurt him. And when it got to the point where, you know, bats and pipes, and then, of course, the last time I remember it is the knife, when I grabbed a knife, and I was just like, this is good. But once again, I had a dad that was disabled, a mom had to work. Me and my brother were left to fend for ourselves at home. And we're competitive, so we were always doing stupid stuff. And he was always dominating me, so I was like, okay, I got to get him, you know. And so I became foolish. I became very, very foolish. And I'm thankful, you know, that I got saved at a young age. And so God used the church. But I had a mom that was working me through some of this stuff too. She was helping with my emotions. So your kid will be foolish. Your kid, you're going to lead them to sin if you don't correctly parent them. If you don't bring them up, you got to be so intentional about bringing your children up instead of provoking them. Provoking is stirring them up. And some people think that's good, like it's challenging and it's, you know, all that type of stuff. It's not. Matter of fact, Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. You're actually hurting your kids. They will suffer the rest of their lives. You'll watch some young girl. Why does she hook up? Why is she so boy crazy? Well, most of the time you go inside of a home and you're like, where's Pops at? Where's it at? She's not getting love and attention that she needs, so she found it. And the enemy will always make sure that they will find it. They will find the alternative. So dealing with this particular issue, before we move on, fathers provoking or stirring your kids up to anger, or to wrath, which means just their emotions, and they don't, you know, they don't know what to do. Well, you got to help them through that process. You got to teach them, or they're going to be terribly discouraged. Here's some things that can help you. Practical, if you're a dad, and you know how it is. Certain things you want done, you get frustrated, and you're always barking, barking, barking. Your kids can never do anything right, and you're after them, after them, after them. Proverbs 15:1 says, you know, soft answers turns away wrath. So first thing, dad, saved, but not soft, soft answer. When I'm talking about this soft, I don't mean that, you know, real men yell. Real men are, you know, you know what I mean. The Bible says, watch your answers back, that they're soft. And you will be challenged when your junior high students challenge you. What are you going to do, get ticked? Tell them they're stupid? You don't know nothing. Is that how you're going to deal with that? And when everything you just said there is true. They don't always know. But have a soft answer. That'll help with the anger issues, especially when your children see you and they see me and my eyes are on fire and I'm biting the tip of my tongue. That's when I'm getting ready to blow the roof off the house. I'm like, okay, listen to me. I'm getting soft. You know why? Because it's going to escalate. If I get fired up and I keep going, and it's frequent in an argument. You know, sometimes if you're arguing, you can't win, there's hotheads. You know what the best thing to do is, right? Don't talk. Don't feed that fire. Quit putting kindling on it, right? That's just practical, not just parenting. That's for any relationship. Sometimes it's just time to walk away. Quit feeding the fire. Give a soft answer. You know, men of God in the New Testament, we stand on truth, but we're gentle, the Bible says. We're supposed to be gentle, a gentle man. It don't mean you're a wussy. It actually means just the opposite. Because what I really want to do is kick the windows out. And I only did that once, by the way. I kicked the window out of the bathroom one time. I was so fired up, I didn't know what to do, and it needed replaced. I had no plan in place. I was just like, this is a good time to get this window out of here. And that's exactly what I did. I remember my wife come in. She goes, what are you doing? Now we got a hole in the shower. And I'm like, yeah, man, but I feel a ton better. You know. Soft answer. What about slow? The Bible speaks quite often about being slow to anger. So soft answers, not raising your voice. Slow. Slow to anger. Slow down. And that's what happens a lot of times. In crisis, things escalate quickly. Anybody that's in the field of like emergency care, first responders, boy, you got to watch who's on the scene on those things. Because some of them people, man, it's already friction and fired up. And if you enter into that situation and just, man, it'll blow up, you know. So learn to be slow. Stop, slow it down. Sometimes as a parent, it's a good thing to just say, stop, go to your room. I'm not to blame. I don't know. Just go to your room. We're just slowing this thing down. Slow it down, man. You know, your wife's wanting to kill you. You're wanting to kill her. Hey, slow down. Slow down. Let's take some time, right? So be soft. The Bible says slow down. You know, another thing you can do, anger, the Bible says, needs laid apart. It says that all the time. Make sure you put wrath away. You take it here and you put it where it belongs. Wrath and anger is a serious emotion. And so I always say emotions are like water. Water always needs a container. Because if I pour it here on the floor, it's going to soak the carpet. Now, by Tuesday, it'll probably be dried up in here. But it needs a container, or it goes everywhere and everybody gets wet. The Bible says make sure you set anger aside. Put it in its proper place. There's a time for it. And parents, listen to me. I think there's righteous anger. It's okay to be angry. You just can't sin. If you let that thing fester up, you got to make sure it's righteous. And then sometimes ask yourself this hard question. If you slow everything down, if you start getting a little bit soft on the thing and sit down and you just say, why am I so angry about this? I should not be wanting to kick the bathroom window out. What's going on? And I'm telling you what, 9 times out of 10, God's dealing with this guy. You know why you're so angry about this? And even though what happened was totally might have been wrong, there's something in my heart. So make sure we find the proper place for anger, and it's a good thing to set it aside. You know, the Bible says to put it away, especially when it's prompting evil. Soft, slow, set it aside. And the example for you and me is we should simulate Jesus Christ. There's another S word for you. That's what the Bible says. Be kind and tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. So it's as Christ. And so men, especially talking to you today, is we the best thing we can do for our children is be Jesus. Be like Christ. And remember this. It's okay to turn over a table. He did that once. In his three and a half years of ministry, once. Don't use that as an example that every time you get mad as a dad, you're able to spout that stuff off, kick things down, throw plates against the wall, punch holes, raise your voice. You know, if you got a consistent habit of that, you got some problems. The problem's not your home, it's you. Get that right. And it can get right. The Bible gives methods and ways to do that. Of course, it starts with getting the word right, renewing your mind. So make sure you sample Jesus, simulate Jesus. So fathers, provoke not your kids. You're stirring. We do that sometimes with our spouse. You know, I know anybody that's had siblings in here knows this. You know, I know exactly what would push my brother's buttons. He knew what would push mine. So we stirred each other up all the time. Well, there's got to be a time where you grow up. And so you have your kids. I've seen people argue with like 3 and 4 year olds, arguing with the kid. That's funny to me. Why would you argue? You ever see a parent like reason with a preschooler? You look like a cornball, man. You look ridiculous. You can't reason with a preschooler. They need told, right? They need parented. They need examples. And I like the parents that were just like, well, we don't like to use those words. We like to give choices. Gee, give choices? I would have lived my life eating lollipops and Tootsie Rolls if that's the case. No, there's a time I do believe choices enter in. And parents, a lot of parents don't want to properly discipline, so what they do is they bring the choice thing in. It's nothing but a delay of getting to the inevitable. Your kid needs his hind end dealt with. You know, it's what happens. And so they'll take that one off of Facebook. We get flagged on Facebook quite a bit. It's usually our music, though. It's not usually things we say, but we'll see. It's okay. That'd be a good thing to be taken down from. So children, obey your parents, right? It's well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your kids to anger. I just want to encourage you, dads, do not stir the hornet's nest in your house. Be the leader. Be the example. Be the guy that brings them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We got to be nurturing. It's our job as dads to train, right? To nurture. And you know how that's done? By the way, that verse in Timothy 3:16 that says, God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction and instruction. Look up that word instruction one time. You know what that is? It's the exact word as nurture. So after the discipline's over and you're getting them back on the path, you instruct them. As a dad, you're an instructor. Watch being an instructor, because you don't want to be labeled as a guy who lectures. That's not good. Who likes lectures? Every once in a while you find one that you're interested in. But a lot of times it's like, oh my gosh, I wish that talking head would be done, you know? And so you don't want that, but you do want to instruct. You want to be a great instructor. That's what nurture is. You instruct. It also involves the word chastisement, which is definitely some, I would say corporate punishment, which that's done when kids are this big. My kids look in my eye now, and them days are over for me. I can't do that. So I just hope that I can go to God's word and instruct, use his word, and I can have influence on their life. It's the best compliment as a parent you can get if your kids will seek you out. They want your influence in their lives. If you don't get it, and listen, you just own it, something's not good here. You want your kids coming home from school. This is another benefit, by the way. There was a great lady in our life that we knew, and she told us, because, our kids were in school, so Becky started working and all that type of stuff, and she said, I have learned when my kids in junior high and high school, and then she said even into college, they came home from school, and they would always come into the kitchen where I was usually working, prepping for dinner. They would ask me questions. I found out they really wanted my influence. And she goes, so what a lot of people do is they get lost. Everybody's busy now. And so who's going to influence your child? Well, I'll tell you who is. Their peer group's going to. You know, everything social will influence them. Everybody around them will influence them instead of God's word and a good parent. So I think sometimes we mess up a little bit there. This is just my opinion. And I say it's my opinion, and yet if you look hardcore, I mean, we work, my wife works. So don't think you, I hope you don't think I'm extreme on this thing. But your children need you. Even as they get older, the question is, are you available? Be available for them. Make sure that it's your job that you want to bring them up in the nurture and the instruction of God's word, right? Because it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. It's profitable. And admonish, that word leans a little bit towards like exhorting, but also with warning. We teach and admonish one another. We use the word there, right? And so we need to do those things as dads, nurture and admonition. Don't be one of those dads that says, yeah, mom's the softy, I'm the hard one. That's how we work. Okay, tough guy. That just tells me that you're out of control. You know, and the whole thing of parenting is you're teaching your child to deal with this animal called the flesh, my will, my emotions. That's what we're really trying to do as parents. You're like, I don't want them to keep stirring them up, and they're leaning this direction where they let that take charge of their lives. And as parents, we teach biblically how to deal with that. And sometimes you need to, as a dad, even pull everybody in the living room and just say, here's the deal. I blew up when I came in, and guys, I had a very hard day. I was very angry, and you guys sort of bombarded me with this stuff, and I just got sick of it. So listen, forgive me. Forgive me. I just lost control there for a minute. But I'm back now. You know, it's good to do those things so they see the reality of a life that's wanting to be controlled and fed and the Spirit of God to fill my life and me to live this out. Can I take you to a passage in Hebrews 12? Let me just share a few things out of Hebrews 12 because we're rounding the bases here. We used to do a parenting series every year because it was demanded. Like, people wanted it. People were calling all the time. And when I started getting several calls a week and somebody just say, hey, I got a question for you, I got an issue in my family or in my home, I need some help here. We started, oh, it's time. This is a need. You know, we need to put it out there. It's just crazy to me that I don't get that anymore. Like, it's just, but it's a change, a little bit of a change in our culture. And I don't think it's a great change. Right, I think we need help. I think we need, this is why discipleship's important. You need to be in homes where, you know, you can see people with their children and they're modeling biblical parenting, and fathers that are building their kids up. They're raising them up to another level. Hebrews 12 says this in verse 5. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So the first thing I want to put out, we're not supposed to despise God's chastening. As a dad, you need to do discipline in your homes. And it's going to say some of that more here in a minute. But you got to give discipline. You got to have, and there needs to be consequences for behavior for sure. But the problem is when we despise the chastening of the Lord. Some of you got kids that totally despise you and hate you because of your discipline. This is good. This is not good when your children despise you and they don't respond well to correction. You can stir that up in them, or you can say, hey, we've got a problem here. Sweetie, every time I deal with the subject and we come in here, here's what you're doing. Not proper. Not, if you got a child when you discipline that says things like, I hate you, you're in trouble. Stop it right there. You know, and I know some parents, they get crazy on the thing. Then you say, you know, you think I care if you hate me, you know. Then the rest of the night they talk about it, and your kid obviously goes, I got her. She's talking about it all the time. It does bother her. It says in verse 5, don't despise. And it says in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Guys, your process of discipline, it should not be out of anger. It should totally be out of love. This is what happens in a loving home. The Lord loves whom he chastens. Discipline should be a loving adventure. Let's knock all this off. And we're coming in the room together. And you come together and start doing business. Look at verse 7. If ye endured chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? See, when you discipline your children, children crave it. Matter of fact, verse 8 here says, if you don't get chastisement, you're a bastard. That means you don't know who your daddy is. That's not a good place to be. So here in Hebrews 12, we teach our children when we, instead of stirring them up to get angry, we don't want them to despise us or despise the chastening. And so what we do is we teach them to endure. That's what it says in verse 7, right? If ye endure chastening. Guys, chastening is a difficulty that has to be endured because there's trouble. Your children will never know how to get through the adversity of life if they don't go through proper chastisement in the home. They need this. This is the main training ground. It's tough. It's hard. It takes time, right? In verse 9 says, furthermore, we had a fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. We should. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? So a good dad will bring correction, and it'll bring you reverence, respect. You want to be the lady in Proverbs, right? That, man, your children are going to say, she's blessed. Blessed. Reverence and respect. That's influence. Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And so when we discipline, this is what's bad with anger. If you want to stir it up and get angry, you're going to win the anger war. You got to really, really be careful this type of stuff. Because it says in verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. So real discipline in our homes presently is not joyous. You got to stop everything. Great, we're going to be late. And so you're in the midst of your child needing disciplined, but yet baseball practice starts in 10 minutes. What will you do? Well, most parents say, and your kid's like, I'm going to be late for baseball. We'll deal with this later. And you know what happens later, don't you? Who wants to deal with it? It's terrible. Kid don't want it, parent don't want it. So here it just says, yeah, presently, guess what? It ain't joyous. But guess what? I'll talk to your coach, and I'm going to own it that I am the reason you're going to be late tonight. Because it's a reward to get to play. You don't get that. Presently, and it's rough, and they start crying like, well, you're going to make it longer. This is what's happening here. This needs to be dealt with. And then I just like it says, for the present times, it seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. See, the results of real father correction and admonition in your children's life, it brings peaceable fruit when it's done correctly. I don't promote being angry, and you'll hurt your kids. You'll hurt them. I would never whip your kid. And believe me, you know, and I grew up in a home where, you know, it just happened. You know, my dad sometimes wasn't involved in that part of our discipline, but my mother was. And so frequently she just fly off the handle. Respect her, love my mom, but, you know. You ever got slapped with a greasy hamburger spatula? I have. Woo! Man, lesson learned. Woo! Wow! You know, now what do I tell people about these three marks on my face from that spatula, you know? She's like, you want another one? No. So, fathers, provoke not your kids to anger, lest they be discouraged. I wanted to share this passage here, just say there is a proper way of discipline, and I know some of our kids are older. It's not too late. It's not too late, man. I just think the most difficult job in the world. I always thought pastoring was rough. People always said, my gosh, man, you used to pour cement for a living, man. That's tough, isn't it? And I'm like, no, I started pastoring, and I started learning. Dealing with people are a lot harder. And then you go home and you want to do the Bible in your home. And I'm just like, I think pastoring might be easier than inside the house. Jeez, it is. It's very tough at home. But I'll tell you what, dads, you're made for this. I mean, God gave us some instructions in this book. You're made for it. He wants to grow inside of your heart and life. And then you're going to be the godly example that your children and your wife need. It's you. We got a very strong female-dominated culture going on right now, and I'm not saying all of it's bad, but I'm just saying inside of our homes, pops, this is you. Don't give this role to your wife. Yeah, she's the guide of the home. You do this thing together, and it's okay. I think moms need to discipline too, but as a dad, you're the ones. Remember that the emotions of the home sometimes get constantly stirred up. And a lot of times what I see is you'll go inside of a situation like that, and it's a mom causing a bunch of emotion, and then a dad comes in, and he just stirs the thing up and gets irate. And a lot of times, even towards the children, and it is one disaster, man. It shouldn't be that way. So dads, I think it's our job to be led by the Spirit of God, to be leaders in our home, to go against a culture. Let's discipline our kids when they need it. Let's give them an aggressive love, right? Nurture and admonition. Don't provoke your kids. It says, bring them up. 1 Timothy 3 says this, if a man don't know how to rule his house, how can he take care of the church? Speaking of a pastor. It's our job, fathers, to take care of our homes. That's the message for today. In a culture where dads don't take care of their homes, dads in Maple City Baptist Church hearing this message today, we're going to make a pact that we are going to do exactly what the Bible says. I'm going to stop this nonsense of just stirring things up. You know why dads tend to stir things to anger? You know why that is, don't you? Because they're usually uninvolved. And then everything they get involved in, why is there always trouble around here? Because you're not here during the pleasant times. Yet then your name's called if you were here a little bit more often. So dads, we've got to be involved. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, we form and make those arrows. And they have a real purpose in life. And that's what we need to figure out, God's purpose, God's pleasure, and poof, that's where we take our kids, right to that sweet spot. So, fathers, hope you're encouraged. And I think, by the way, I think some of you are good fathers in this room, great fathers, I would say. I think we got a lot of people that are doing the job very well. But, man, dealing with the heart, the seat of the emotions is very difficult, but we better deal with it. That's life, man, right there, right? So, hey, does anybody have any questions this morning? I know I don't normally do this on Sunday mornings. Does anybody have any questions on this subject? Parenting, dads, moms, all that type of thing. If you ask a question, my guess is there'll be three other people in the room go, yeah, that's good. I'd like to know that too. Let's pray and leave. It's a hard one. Yeah, that's a super tough one. The good news is your formative years, training years, are over. So, of course, they've got a child that's, you know, going against God and his word right now. And she claims to be a believer. So it's been very hard. What do you do there? You got to take a stand on God's word. It's hard as a parent when you disagree with somebody with the decision they're making. And some of it is, I think you guys are doing a great job in the sense that you're letting go. You've let go enough that I believe that sin bites. The Bible says that. The wages of sin is death. It'll eventually kill you. So sometimes when our children make choices that we don't even care for or like, sometimes you've got to sit back because your job's over now, and you pray and seek God, but you're kind of in the grandstands, and right in front of you, you got to watch it hurt them. It's going to destroy them. But just remember this. Israel would always do that and go wayward, and every time it would bring them to that friction in their life, it says they called on the Lord, and the Lord was like, you guys seen, like, what's that movie, Adam Sandler, and I think it's Mr. Deeds. Remember the butler? Like, he would be doing something stupid or whatever, and all of a sudden, whoosh, he'd be right there, and he'd say, sneaky, sneaky. He was always, I think the Lord's that way, to let a heart be so broken and sin take. So sometimes you just got to let it play out. Parents don't like that. I don't like it, but you got to let it happen. You got to let failure take place in front of you sometimes. And it don't always mean your parenting. It's embarrassing sometimes. Don't always mean your parenting's bad. It can mean there's mistakes. That's between you and the Lord. There's no perfect way. There's no perfect kid. There's no perfect parents. There's just a perfect God, a perfect Bible. Live those principles out. And so how much do you give and seek out a wayward? Well, sometimes the best thing is let go. You know, you don't want to enable a child to constantly be in bad behavior and constantly do wrong and sin against the Bible. But, and here's the thing, be assured of this, parents, and be assured of this. Jesus loves your child more than you guys ever thought about. And she claims that God is her father, so he loves her. He loves her enough that he'll discipline her. He'll love her enough to, that's where I was at Monday. God says, Mike, I love you enough. He made my soul lean. I was so lean. And it was Monday, late morning last week. And God says, Mike, here's why you're lean. It was in our church reading. He clearly showed me. And you know what I did? I repented. I said, God, I see it now. I didn't see it before. So sometimes you got to let your kids experience that. My mother was very good with that. My dad wasn't much involved because he was disabled, so my mom made hard decisions in our lives, so me and my brother frequently pushed her around. And I remember one night it snowed so bad out, and I wanted to go on this deal with all these young people, and I took the family car. My mom was like, you're not going anywhere. I was like, yeah, I am. You know, stop me. You know, it was seriously, my mom said, okay. She couldn't fight me. I took off that night. In a trip that should have taken me 30 minutes, an hour and a half later, I'm struggling to get back home in the snow. And the whole time in my mind, I'm going, my mom was so right. And I ruined the seats of the car. I was squeezing so tight and nervous. I'm just like, sorry, Mom. I didn't soil them. I just ruined the seats. They all were formed like this now, you know. So, but see, I had to learn it. Great lesson to learn. It was so good to learn that, to go home and just say, boy, you were right. And she's like, I know. And my mom was, well, my girls know what she said to me. She's like, I know, you stupid idiot. We've heard that a lot. You stupid idiot. Mom, I was a stupid idiot. I shouldn't have done that. So, yeah, I just want to encourage you to do that. We pray and we seek and be ready, and because sin always leads to a bad spot. So as a parent, be ready to do that too. I'll give you an example of this. One of my kids wanted to stay the night at another child's house. They were having a sleepover with five other girls. And I knew the dad. I was like, no, I will not let you stay in the home. I don't trust that guy. And so they fought me and fought me and fought me. I was like, I can't. We talked about me, my wife talked about it, and all of a sudden they're doing movies and stand-up late. I said, here's the deal. How about I let you go over, eat dinner, have some pizza, and watch a movie, and then I'll come get you at 10 or 11 at night. It was later than it should have been. And okay, so I compromised. The whole time she went, I'm in the background. I'm going, Jesus, speak to my girl. She's got to see it. She don't see it, God, and I know that. But so I'm trying to parent her, and I didn't want to just say no. I'm afraid. You know, it's the give and the take. You don't know how much rope to give. You don't want them to hang on themselves. It just is a hard thing. And I picked her up. It was 11 o'clock, and she got in the vehicle, and there were tears shed. And she said it was terrible because these girls pulled out a movie and said, hey, let's watch this movie. And it was a rated R movie. It was a bad movie. And my daughter knows she couldn't watch that. Then she was, like, pretty small. She says, hey, girls, I can't watch that. And they're like, oh, okay, whatever. Well, then it got to the point then they were just like, man, you're ruining all of our fun, you know. And a lot of pressure was put on. Now, here's the deal. My daughter stood. She could have easily compromised. And I wouldn't even have known if she wouldn't have said anything. She stood her ground, and all I could do as a dad was just say, man, I'm so proud of you. None of those girls should watch them things. And now all those girls, they're trouble. They're adults now, and they're, like, nasty. They're all messed up, you know, and it was because of a lack of a father. So sometimes we got to let the rope out a little bit and let them get bit. They're going to get hurt. Who likes to see your kid hurt? That's the worst place in the world, to get your kid crying, and they're hurt, and they're injured, you know. I'm like, no way. I do not like that. But as a parent, be careful, because when your kid's hurt, as a parent, you want to reach in and just do this protection thing. Watch that, because they're going to be on their own one day. You know, so legalism, you got to be careful. I don't know, Trish, if I answered that or helped you a little bit there. That's so hard. I would not want to be in your shoes. Because I told my God with my youngest girl that, God, I don't know what I'll do if she's wayward. I don't know how I could stand up and preach that the Bible works, because it's not working here. And God says, okay. Do you want me to take? And I literally just said, God, she's yours. That brought leukemia into our home. Whew. It was probably the best thing that happened to our lives and the best thing that happened to her, but it's so painful, so hurtful. I still hate it. So anybody else got a question? And I know we're late and running loose. But especially dads. Guys, I'm telling you, we'd go into the school and read books in our children's classroom, and to have little kids come up to me and reading a book and just say, a little girl I don't even know, I wish you were my dad. Wow, she don't have a dad. And I'm not even a good reader, you know? But she just wishes somebody would be involved. So dads, be involved, man. Be a godly man. Grow, know that book, and then know the heart of your little boy, your little girl, or your big girl and your big boy, and meet them right where that, and make that connection, man. Constantly, if you're not saying this in your house, what's the word say? If that words are not coming out of your mouth, you're in trouble in a home. Hey, what's the Bible say? What's the word say here? Let's strictly go to the Bible. Or just, this is an area where we need the Lord. Let's go to the Lord. If you're not doing those type of things, what in God's name are you after here? Who are you pleasing? So dads, I just want to encourage you. It's in you. You know what the book says. Lead, guide, set the example, repent. Let your children see you repent. Let them see you be broken. Let them see you get hosed. Let them see you take it. Let them see you take the chastisement of the Lord and endure it. You endure it because you deserve it. When life hurts, we share that stuff with them. And then they, you know what, they leave and they'll just say, boy, that book is real. I would hate to see what my dad would be like if it wasn't for God and his word. I hope they say that about me. I hope they see that and say, man, the difference maker has been the Lord Jesus Christ. I could talk all day. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you today for your word. God, I'm thankful for the Maple City Baptist Church, and I'm thankful for the men in this room today. I pray, Lord, if anything, they're inspired to leave today to walk with you. They want to be you to their children. Lord, I pray that dads in this room, that we would quit stirring up our children and causing crazy emotions in them. I pray, Lord, we would bring them up and nurture an admonition of you. We would constantly point them to you. Jesus, thanks for the good men that you've put in my life to show me how to be a biblical dad. I'm so thankful. I can think of three men right now that you just really used in forming me into the dad that you expect and that you want. So, Jesus, we love you. And Lord, I love these people. I love pastoring, God, that you put me in a spot where you asked me to do this. I'm thankful for it. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.